The gospel for today is from John, the ninth chapter. And this season, we've been hearing several encounters with Jesus that reveal the light of Christ coming into the world. And for those who are already walking in the light, there's even some humor in these stories. So I'm going to invite you to look for the humor in this. And some of the humor is involved in the people who just don't quite get it. The amazing thing that's just happened, a blind man giving his sight. So, but see if you can catch the humor and the goodness of life that comes through this story as you listen in. As he walked along, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it's day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud in the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. And then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Isn't this the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "Yeah, it's him." And others were saying, "No, but it's someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Well, then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went, washed, and I received my sight." They said to him, well, where is he?" He said, "I don't know." So they brought to the Pharisees this man who had been formerly blind. Now, it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. The Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I can see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God. He doesn't observe the Sabbath." But others said, "But how can a man who's a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they again said to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." And he said, "He's a prophet." The Jews didn't believe that he'd been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight, and they asked him, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "Well, we know this is our son, and he was born blind. We don't know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. He can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He's of age. Ask him." So, for the second time, the Pharisees called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know this man's a sinner." The man answered, "I don't know whether he's a sinner. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." They said to him, "Well, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" And he answered them, "I've told you already, and you wouldn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to be his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You're his disciple. We're disciples of Moses. We know God spoke to Moses, but as for this man, we don't know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now here's an astonishing thing. You don't know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know God doesn't listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. So if this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They said to him, You were born entirely in sin, and now you're trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The man answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so I may believe." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." The man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Then Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Now, some of the Pharisees near him heard this, and they said to him, "Surely you don't think we're blind." Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, 'We can see,' your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord. So in the Gospel of John, we listeners, already in the community of faith, John assumes that we already are in on the story. We're living in the light. We have Christ with us. And because we do, we know what's going on in this story. We get the joke. And I'd like to suggest that there are at least four things we know because we are already walking in the light. Number one, we get it that when a pandemic or any other crisis arises, we don't have to be scared. Do not be afraid. Those words show up so many times in the scriptures at critical moments. And why? Because as you heard earlier in the singing of Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. And yes, Lord, you prepare a table before me, even in the presence of my enemies, and my cup runs over. In fact, surely, goodness and mercy shall not just follow me." The Hebrew word here, by the way, is chase me down. "Surely your goodness and mercy will chase me down, pursue me all the days of my life, and finally, I will fully and completely live in your house forever." We don't have to be afraid. No fear. So that's the first thing that we who are walking in the light already know. And secondly, what we know already, and I'm just reminding you all, and me too, of what we already know, right? As much as many would dispute it, this ours is a global society. The ability of a virus to spread so rapidly around the world should make that apparent to us. Same as with things like technology. I can text somebody in Costa Rica, as I did this last week, to see how they were doing and if they're going to be able to get home. We have a global economy. That's so obvious right now, too, isn't it? And we are in a global society. Now, one response to that is fear for those who aren't walking in the light, that the world is a danger to us and ours. We have to protect ourselves. We have to fight back what is all so true. And that feeling of fear to the global society to which we belong just leaves people feeling victimized and isolated and distrustful of people who are different from them. But the Christian response, the faith response, for those walking in the light, sounds like these words from an old hymn. "This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world." And this from the Gospel of John as well. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son." Yep, change and connectedness are woven into the very fabric of life. It's a gift from God, not a threat. Although all these changes in situations like this do pose challenges to people of faith and unfaith people as well. But it's a small world after all means we must learn how to live together, how to solve global problems together like a virus, how to appreciate differences and enjoy them rather than be afraid of them, how to care for those on the margins. And you know what? There's signs of hope in this Father's world of ours that we belong to. One of them is that the poverty rate around the world has dropped significantly in the last 25 years. We're moving in the right direction on this planet. And cures for all sorts of things, from cancer to, yes, viruses, are going to come from all around the world so we can help one another. And many of those developments are going to just astound us and comfort us. And thirdly, this thing we know as we walk in the light, crises and challenges help us to focus even better on our purpose for being here. And for Lord of Life, this is our purpose, our mission. Repeat after me. We seek and welcome all to connect, celebrate, and serve in God's love. Isn't that a great mission statement? I love it. And it reminds us that our purpose is to share the good news with the entire planet to which we belong. And in a crisis, we can see that even more clearly. You know, the good news here lately, it's really great for us at Lord of Life because we've been forced to learn how to use social technology better than we ever have before. Here we are doing worship online with you guys. And we're having devotionals. There'll be Sunday school classes online. Other groups are going to be meeting by Zoom. We're going to learn better how to share the good news with the world than we have ever done before. Isn't that great? And as we look at our purpose, we get to be more creative in other ways, like the early Christians were in a time of great crisis. Do you know that in Acts, one of the first names for the Christians was those who turn the world upside down? Yeah, so we're doing that as we walk in the light, fearlessly, courageously, turning the world upside down in the midst of a crisis even. You know, I've never been part of a congregation like such as Lord of Life that gets this so well. I mean, you are so courageously, enthusiastically jumping into action whenever there's a crisis. I saw it in Hurricane Harvey when we had 400 people in this sanctuary getting trained to help. And now, just this past week, in case you didn't know it, 25 of our members were calling all of our at-risk people, 60 and over, to see how they're doing and what needs they have. And others of you have called and said, we want to help with those things. Isn't that awesome? Since I'm over 60, I got my call a couple days ago. And you know, oh gosh, how much it meant to me to have somebody call me and say, well, I just want to know how you are doing. That was pretty cool. You guys, as Lord of Life, you really get it. How to walk in the light as He is in the light and spreading that light to others. Fourthly, for those living in the light, there are readings like the one I'm going to share with you in just a minute that make more sense to us than they might to the rest of the world. And they can free us up even more to be present in this time. This is from a little devotional book I use every morning called The Courage to Change from Al-Anon. And this was for St. Paddy's Day, and it was the same day we found out my sister-in-law does not have coronavirus. Thank God for that. But listen to these words, and we'll post them online for you to share with your friends. No problem lasts forever, no matter how permanently fixed in the center of our lives it may seem. Whatever we experience in this ever-changing life is sure to pass, even pain. Difficult situations often bring out qualities in us that otherwise might not have risen to the surface, such as courage, faith, and our need for one another. All of our experiences can help us to grow. But we may need patience Some situations can't be fixed quickly. They must be given time. In the meantime, we can appreciate the new capabilities we're developing, such as the capacity to mourn and the willingness to accept. Let us share our losses and triumphs with each other, for that's how we gather courage. And today's reminder says, remembering that this too shall pass can make it easier to get through my day. I'll be very gentle with myself during this time. Some extra loving and care and attention to myself can make everything a little easier. So that's us, people who walk in the light and who know these things, that we don't have to be afraid. We can trust in the shepherd. Secondly, we're global and local, and that's not a threat, that's a gift. Thirdly, that our life is about serving others rather than hiding under our quilts in a crisis. And fourthly, we have a more eternal perspective that we can see, yes, even this too shall pass. And we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.